Hi everyone, this is Neil Thompson from the Inside Oz podcast. As you know, the guys are raising money for Sheffield Children's Hospital, and you can donate online through their Just Giving page. If you donate, you can unlock huge bonus episodes from the guys, as well as other perks. Head on over to www.justgiving.com/royalgrumble to donate whatever you can. There isn't a set amount to donate, it's completely up to you, and you can also see all the information regarding the bonus content. All donations go directly to Sheffield Children's Hospital. It's a great cause, so give whatever you can. Thank you.
Let's get ready to grumble!
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for the Royal Grumble. I'm your host Graham. Sitting directly opposite me is Daryl.
Hiya.
Sitting in the other corner of the room is Dan.
Hi again.
And returning once again from Breed Wrestling, we've got Mitch.
Hello.
How are you, Mitch?
I'm good. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Super well, especially since it's the first time we're recording this ever. So it's good. Brand new banter. We've never done any of this before.
The last time I was made to re-record a show where I tanked it, so let's just...
Yeah, he did intentionally tank it, so let's just...
Well, this isn't being re-recorded, is it?
This is brand new.
I mean, no. Your mic, it's the first time it's recording your mic. I've already said my stuff.
So in a way, it's brand new, isn't it?
We're not having to re-record for you saying a bunch of awful stuff about a person who then died that night we recorded.
Right. Just point out, I mean, she was alive when I made the comments.
Right, yeah, she was. We're just... Yeah. Anyway... Great, good to bring that up. So, we're talking to you ahead of Starcave, which is a week on Sunday.
Week on Sunday,
probably depending on when's this going out, Dan?
Is it
going out
today? Right, so Friday.
There you go. So a week away essentially from the first UK show to take place inside a cave.
Yeah, but you copied it from China though, didn't you? Or something?
Japan.
What? Whatever.
I've got China up brain.
Okay.
Well, China.
Good. Wow.
All right, wow. Independence Day ring announcer.
I think, yeah, that's a real thing, yeah. Did you? Yeah,
I know all about that.
Right, let's talk about China, the dead wrestler, not the country. The point is, right, apart from some obscure company in Japan for whom you've been apparently accused of copying, because, you know, everyone was looking at them for inspiration, I'm right in thinking this is the first time this has been done in the UK.
It's the first time it's been done in the UK, yes.
Right. Do you want to give us a little bit of an idea of what prompted you to do the show in the devil's arse?
Yeah, so...
Not the actual arse, the cabin.
So one of my other passions in life's music, and I used to go to a lot of gigs in the devil's arse. So it was just like a cool venue with a cool concept. So when we started Breed, maybe it was my idea all along. That's why I put the bear in the logo. And
there you go.
It was subliminal in there.
What's your favourite bear? I've got a list.
I was going to say we'll get to bears, but okay.
Should we start off with the bear questions, then we'll get onto the wrestling.
Just tell which one your favourite like celebrity bear is, and I'll see where it ranks on my list. I mean, it's a list of the top 250 celebrity bears.
250?
I know, I was surprised as well.
Yeah, right.
They've cheated because one of them's called Teddy Bear. I don't count that.
Okay. Is Brutus on there? Because Brutus is my favourite. Brutus is a real bear, though.
Well, it's not fictional
bears. Is it a celebrity bear?
No, they're more like cartoon bears.
Okay.
Stuff.
Yogi Bear.
There you go, Yogi. Right.
Controversial.
Best bear, Yogi.
Third on this list.
Third? Oh, who's above Yogi?
Well, who would be above Yogi Bear?
Paddington, presumably.
Oh, Paddington's fourth.
Fourth? What is this bear list?
So, do you want the top 10?
Right,
it'd be like Jimmy Savile reading that top 10.
No.
So, number 10, the Berenstain Bears. Number 9.
Berenstain Bears?
Well, we'll get on to that later. Because it's a whole thing.
Right.
Have you heard of the Mandela Effect?
What I've done there is I've engaged Daryl, which you should never do. If he tries to engage you in anything, never engage him.
Have you heard of the Mandela Effect, Mitch?
No.
So it's a concept where people think that...
yeah, I've taken my headphones off, I'm done.
Where people think that we live in an alternate reality, and it's all to do with that they think that Nelson Mandela died in the 1980s in prison, when he actually didn't. So it's a conspiracy theory of people misremembering things, basically. And Berenstain Bears, or Berenstein Bears, some people think it ends in A-I-N, and some people think it ends in E-I-N. And that's one of the conspiracies.
It's like one of the bigger ones in the Mandela effect.
Yeah, use that as genuine evidence that we live in a different reality to what we used to live in.
Right.
Yeah.
When the ultimate evidence is the fact the world ended in 2012.
Yeah.
So that's number 10. Number 9 is Kenai, a.k.a. Brother Bear, or it's from Brother Bear, should I say. Boo Boo, at number 8.
But How is Boo Boo separate to Yogi as a psychic?
It's a different bear.
Yeah, they're two different bears.
You wouldn't put Robin on the top 10 superheroes, though, would you?
No, not in any circumstance, but they'd be on lists like, it'd be 250.
Right.
Number 7, Smokey Bear.
Oh, only you can prevent forest fires.
Yeah. Number 6, Little John from Robin Hood.
Really?
Yeah. Number 5, Fozzie Bear from The Muppets.
Right, Baloo must be up there then, surely.
Well. Number 4, Paddington Bear.
Right.
Number 3, Yogi Bear. Number 2, Winnie the Pooh. And number 1, Baloo.
Baloo is ahead of Winnie the Pooh and Paddington.
Baloo is officially, according to Ranker.com, where you can vote on everything,
right,
the number 1 bear. It's had 246 votes.
Oh, how many of them are by Baloo's mum and dad, though?
Well,
like, I'm not being funny. Or Mowgli, or the other cat.
He was voiced by Bill Murray in the recent adaptation, so that'll give him some bonus points.
Well, there you go.
Everyone loves Bill Murray.
Was it Bill Murray or was it Lorenzo Music? There you go. There's a reference that pretty much no one will get, but
yeah,
I will.
Okay.
Oh, is that annoying to you when...
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Right. Let's talk about the actual wrestling show, shall we? That's in a cave. Shall we do that,
yeah,
Daryl?
If you want.
Thank you.
It's almost
right, like
we do a wrestling podcast.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's become less and less over the last few weeks, primarily because of you two. I'll not tell you what they've been doing until afterwards. Right. What are you looking forward to? Let's talk through the card, because you've got the card in front of you. What do we want to talk about first of all? Let's bring something
up. Let's start the main event here.
Let's start. So my theory on this, I'm going to throw this out. You don't have to give me any sort of response to this. My theory was that the plan was to do the same match in this as you did on the first show, the four-way. Obviously, that's been completely tanked by Chris Ridgway going back off to Japan. So you don't have to confirm or deny that. I'm just throwing that out there because I've mentioned it before. But at the moment, it stands as what?
So we've got TK Cooper.
The champion.
He was in the first one.
He was.
So he's been the champion since February 10th, and he's been running roughshod. And then we've got Scotty Davis.
Yes, also in the first one, incidentally. This is what led me to... You see where this is going? Yeah.
And then we have got Brady Phillips.
Brady Phillips. I'm annoyed with him. Cultural appropriation. You're not Scottish. Don't wear a kilt.
What is he?
Not Scottish.
He's from Kettering.
Oh, okay.
Kettering. Also, I ruined his theme tune on the official best theme tune vote because it was tied up between him and Shea Bursa. So I quoted the lyrics of the fantastic
Sacrifice.
My Sacrifice, yeah. My Creed, and Shea won a landslide. So
yeah,
this guy. And a mystery fourth competitor.
Mystery fourth, yeah. So we've got a show the day before the cave, and it's going to be an 8-man tournament, and the winner of that heads straight into the main event.
Have you announced everyone that's in the tournament yet?
There's one match left to announce, and we'll probably do that tonight.
Okay.
Tonight.
You could do it now.
It's going to be out, in it?
Oh, yeah, right. Right, and that's at Hex, Breeding Ground 3, which is also Daniel Maccabee's debut.
Daniel Maccabee's debut, okay, yeah. So we've got him on the card. So Daniel Maccabee is someone I've always admired, and it was on my list of gets that I wanted to bring to Breed. So I kind of had an agreement. I said to him, I said, if we sell 300 tickets in this cave, I'll get you an airplane ticket and bring you over. And I never thought it happened.
There you go.
And as soon as we had 300 tickets, I was like, right,
right,
come on over.
Now, Daniel Maccabee, notorious for wearing a football shirt.
Yes.
I want you to know now, if he's wearing a United shirt, I'm out of there. So
I don't think... I think he's a Chelsea fan in this country, so I think he might wear a Chelsea shirt.
Right, okay. Right, that's all right. Okay.
Neutral ground.
Right,
it's
fine, yeah.
Yeah, we just talked about it a few months ago, saying about it's probably not a good idea in wearing a United or a Wednesday shirt.
I was literally going to bring a Wednesday shirt if you put him in a United shirt. I mean, at Carlos Roma.
I mean, I realised that he is Scottish, talk about Graham, but I think an England shirt's a safer bet, to be honest.
England play that day as well.
It's a safer bet.
Mm.
But their shirts are more expensive.
So,
but I know a few fans who are coming. Who are bringing him shirts. So if you're gonna bring him a shirt, you never know. He might wrestle.
Well, I could keep that in my pocket then, just in case. Like, if it get there in front of any United fans. Right. Next up. There's been a long running feud in Breed, which is the actual name of the promotion, which has been running since the second show. It's been not just a long running feud, but perhaps also the longest match in history.
It's been. Right. I've been paying them by the day as well.
Well, that it could be worse. You could have been paying by the minute.
Well, it's a good job we're in this British wrestling boom, isn't it, where no company's going out of business, and then you can afford to just throw money at these wrestlers on a daily basis.
It's the first time I've ever had two wrestlers come up to me and say, can we get paid by the day, and I didn't think much of it.
Brilliant.
But yeah, it's just
thought, I can have them do two matches in one day, saving.
I thought that's great.
But this is the ongoing match between Gene Money and Session Moth, which is now coming to a head in the cave.
It's 9 days and it's all over, but yeah, they've been wrestling all over the world, in Paris, in New York, in Brazil.
Lots of kickouts. That's like...
Do you think that they regret not agreeing to a time limit to the match? I would.
I think they're tired and I think they're worn out and I think, they're regretting that, definitely. They should be in
You brought Gene Money. Sorry, you brought Gene Money in just the right time as well, because he's really blown up these last few months, and like him on Twitter, the stuff he's been posting recently has been just phenomenal.
What did he say about Orange Juice Michael Owen?
Oh, he likes the smell of his own farts, and there's a constant joke now about him killing women.
I mean, I didn't know about that, but
then he's been posting videos now of him walking up to people who are also in the Progress tournament with him. So he walked up to Danny Duggan and just goes, "Oi, Danny, you fucking robot," and runs off. And then there's one with Kara Noir where he says, "Oh, you fucking swan," and slaps him on the back and runs. It's just...
Yeah, so, you know, OJMO, have you ever asked him what it stands for? Don't. Just call him Orange Juice Michael when he likes it.
Orange Juice Michael.
Yeah.
He probably does. He probably don't want to admit it, does he?
No.
So it's coming to a head in a death match.
I've remembered the other thing. Sorry, go.
Is it a full-on, like, to the 10-count death match? Is it...
I think...
Does someone actually die?
Someone will probably die in the cave, yeah.
Yeah, somebody will die in the cave... And then 2 days later, they will rise again.
Oh. Have you got a show 2 days later? You
missed a trick there.
No, but there'll be a great video of one of them just coming out to an empty cave.
You came up with that idea, didn't you? You know the guys in there? Well done. What? A brand new original idea, never been done before.
What, the resurrection?
Yeah. Yeah. Well done.
Just copying Jerusalem, aren't they?
Yeah.
Jerusalem
if you want. Emotions.
Oh, be careful.
What are you saying? What do you mean, be careful? I won't let him carry on. Right. Brilliant. Good. Next, we want to talk about. We talked about Daniel Maccabee a little bit. Obviously, he has his debut match against.
Can we just talk about the death match a little bit?
Well, yeah, we can.
Right. Are you having to go like B&Q and get a load of weapons?
I reckon a lawnmower. I think we need to get a lawnmower, don't we?
Yeah.
Just to finish it off.
Yeah.
The old weed whacker trick.
A little known fact is when 1PW were doing hardcore matches. I went to a local shop and got this staple gun, right? And I didn't realise that you had to gimmick staple things. So, like, I gave it to Stephen, and, like, he stapled it into this fence outside the office, and it went straight through the little wood fence. Yeah, I don't think we can use that.
Compared to one of the other companies I worked for when we went weapon shopping, we went to Wilco's. You know that thing on Beyond the Map where they're like hitting each other over the head with stuff?
Yeah.
Me and Mikey Wright legitimately did that in Wilco's in Doncaster.
Right.
You know, nowadays it'd be Class Olsen, wouldn't you? Or Home Bargains, B&M.
Yeah.
That's B&M would be the place, yeah.
You'd have definitely been sent to B&M, I think.
Yeah.
Stephen would definitely have sent you there. And you'd be like, oh, I've got it. Please give me the money. Oh,
he didn't send me to buy weapons. I just rocked up one day to the office with a staple gun. I was like, shall we use this?
Excellent.
They did use it. They just didn't put any staples in it and just pretend.
I was going to say, surely that's how it works, isn't it?
Well, I assume, I don't know, because I've seen wrestlers like staple like stuff to people's heads, so they must use.
I think if it's half gimmick, they put a few staples in to show it works, but then when it comes to the bigger spots, there's no staples in it. Penn and Teller Fooler style.
Or pre-staple your own head, just a thought, and put makeup over it.
Yeah.
That'd be. How would you do it as a worker, Daryl?
Well, how would I staple something? Well, what I'd do is, if it's, you know, like when they staple like notes to the head and stuff like that,
yeah,
I'd have like blue tack on the back of it. So I'd blue tack it and there'd be no staples and I'd just staple.
So we're giving away wrestling secrets here. That's the problem.
None of this will be happening in Money and Martino. Everything will be legitimate.
Yeah, just Seshamov's still got all that CZW Tournament of Death booking juice to get out of her system.
Juice.
I couldn't think of a better word to describe that.
Don't use
that
word juice in relation to Seshamov. It's not going to end well, is it? Not a good word to use. Right. Good. Right, yes, Daniel Maccabee, to get back to Daniel Maccabee. So he's got Carlos Roma the night before at Hex. Yep. And then at Star Cave, it's Daniel Maccabee against Michael May.
Michael May, yes. I believe. He's a grappler from Ireland.
What's the thing? I don't know a great deal about Michael May. I know a bit more about Daniel Maccabee now, just because of being introduced to through this, but I don't know a great deal about Michael May.
Yeah, so he's only been over once for LJ Cleary and he won.
Yes,
but he's a technical wrestler. He's got a classic match with Jonathan Gresham up on YouTube from his hometown promotion over in Ireland, and that's a class match. And,
excellent. You know, speaking of YouTube, I think we should probably mention, by the way, that Rory Gulak against Scotty Davis from the last show, This Isn't Murder, It's Just Grenicide, is on YouTube. So everyone should have watched that by now. If you haven't, go and watch it. Yeah. Dan certainly definitely recommends it. He was fortunate enough to be there.
It's either number two or number three in my favourite Breed matches.
Nice one. It's up there, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. The one it's on par with for me was the main event of Highbreed. MK McKinnon versus Damien Moser. I thought that was fantastic too. But it is a really, really fantastic match. Any Zack Sabre Jr. fans will love some of the stuff that Rory Gulak does in that match.
Because you, like many of us, have been victims of Sheffield City Council by the fact that they moved your show.
Yes.
I'm sure that was an odd one to be introduced to. How did that come about, basically?
It was... It's probably something I don't want to go deal.
Okay, well, fair enough. That's fine.
But yeah, they basically wanted us to just push it back.
Yeah. Obviously, you have to go with what you have to go with.
They just said we didn't have to, but...
They didn't have to. You don't have to, but do have to. Yeah. Right, you're sure.
Sounds like you were dealing with the same people who do the crowd control at Hillsborough. It sounds very similar to a lot of stuff that goes on there.
Ah, yes.
I'm pretty sure it's the same people.
Yeah, certainly, yeah. Probably best not talk about them anymore, just because then we'll make the whole podcast about that. It's probably best not to do it. Let's keep it on. So, yes.
So we moved it back a week, but like 90% of the roster... could still make it, and it was still a great show. So
yes, positive.
As much as it hurt to move a date, we got something out of it.
Positive, that's good. Right, let's move on then. Next match you'd like to talk about.
Let's go with the Blay Boys.
Yes. Hype. Right, yeah, so this is exciting.
It is exciting, because I watched a promo where they said there were going to be three hunks in the cave, and it's a bit ironic because you're sat with three hunks right now, aren't you?
Definitely.
I just flex for the listeners.
Good, yeah. I can't believe he's just said that out loud. I wonder long-term lodger will feel about that.
Oh, my long-term lodger?
Yes. She gets to live with one hunk.
She don't listen to this, so...
Oh, that's true, yeah.
She's got taste. That's why she's with me. Yeah.
And because of what you said about her on last week's show or the week before?
Oh, 2 weeks ago, I think.
Two weeks ago.
Well, what did I say about her?
you claim that she denies the Holocaust.
Well, she's fine. Like, she's all right. She don't like go out marches or out. She just don't believe it.
But yeah, more than hype.
More than hype
have had a really fantastic year in Breed. It's really kind of put them on the map as well, and then they've been appearing at Fight Club Pro now as well. And I was really gutted that I missed them versus the Rascals, which happened the day before Breed. And I was asking people who were there, like, what was that match like? And it was fantastic. Modern Hype are amazing. And Schadenfreude, the perfect team to put against them in this case, because Aussie Open are brilliant, and then Chris Brooks is the evil genius of British wrestling. So who knows what this match will do.
Must be exciting to have Chris Brooks, because, like, obviously, you know, we've had some really great talents in Breed so far, but a lot of people tend to look at Chris Brooks at the moment as, like, the most independent standout star. You know, there's so many people who are tied to certain companies, whatever. Chris Brooks at the moment seems to have no ties to anything, so it must be particularly exciting to get him on board.
It's exciting, yeah, and especially it's a fresh match as well. Like I said, more than hype's been everywhere this year, and there's only so many trios out there, and Schadenfreude are one trio team that they haven't faced yet, so I'm glad to get that one in first.
I bet, yeah, good to get another trios match, and obviously it's like, Daryl's got his hand.
I've got another bear related question.
Oh, here we go.
So you said that bears are banned from the cave.
Yes.
But you're going to let Mark Davis in? Because he is a bear.
Actually, he's a dunkzilla, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a dunkzilla.
He's a big Australian dinosaur man.
Okay. Slightly different. Okay. So completely he's allowed.
Different. Okay.
He's different allowed. Complexion, different content. So don't be insulting Mark Davis.
It's not an insult. Oh, it's far from an insult.
It's a compliment, if anything, I suppose.
Was it? He was the guy who you said we needed to book, weren't it, Mark Davis? And we did it, though.
Yeah.
And he's back, exactly.
I'm still waiting for Sparky Plug.
Sparky Plug.
Plug's reopened now as well, so that's back on.
Okay. Oh, there you go, right. Well, you know, there you go. You know what you have to do. That's all we're saying.
If his DMs are open, we'll DM him after this show. And
definitely.
We'll pitch him Sparky Plug in Sheffield.
You need to offer to do the sponsorship.
You've got Star and Cave in a cave.
Yeah.
So now you need to do Plug and a Plug. Simple as that.
That's how it works.
Yeah. And we're going to keep pushing that one until eventually Daryl wins the lottery and does it himself.
Can't wait.
Next. Right. Let's keep going. Let's keep talking. There's been a big... initiative recently has been the leader of the new breed has been obviously a sort of secondary title mainly for the sort of young up and comers. Joe Nelson's been defending against all comers, and now he has a title match at Star Cave against
His former best friend.
I was going to say is his best friend. Yeah. They were totally friends for so long.
So when we first started Breed, the concept of this new Breed title was to have something for the younger guys to wrestle over, to fight over, and to put them on the map or to give a match some meaning. And it's been the highlight on more or less every single show. Joe Nelson versus Question Mark, defending his title and just stealing the show. And yeah, it's been a good year for Joe Nelson inside and outside of Breed. And yeah, and JJ Barker's been watching on the sidelines.
Again, yeah, another one that's made sort of real progress elsewhere as well whilst sort of developing himself in Breed, which has been must be really positive for you, certainly.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And he's a Yorkshire lad as well, so it's something good from Yorkshire. And I think he's a future of this country.
Yeah, these two had probably the match of the night at the Walkabout show on WrestleMania Day that me and Graham were at. So I'm quite looking forward to this match. Like, Joe Nelson has been absolutely fantastic, especially the match he had with TK Cooper as well. Like, that match at the Independent show was absolutely fantastic.
He's wrestled so many different styles.
Yeah.
And he's gelled with every single one of them.
And just remind me so I can be devastated. He's how old again?
He's 17.
There you go. Devastating.
17.
Daryl, your career's over, mate.
Anyone who has established and then an O before the number of the year they were born, it's like, oh, no, go away.
I've just come up with an idea for a match for you, mate.
Oh, no.
So, the leader of the new breed versus the leader of the new brood. Halloween 2019. Joe Nelson versus Gangrel.
Halloween 2019, so you wanted to book that in time for October.
Do you want this before or after?
Gangrel's over here quite a bit.
Yeah, he's
in
there.
He's friends with Keith Myatt, isn't he?
Yeah, he comes over for Welsh wrestling. He's a 25-year
Matt veteran. Probably 35 now.
We'll have a look at Joe Nelson versus Gangrel.
Definitely. Right, there you go. So
garlic bread on a pole match. He won't like it, will he? So Joe Nelson gets it, instant win.
But the garlic bread wouldn't be effective against Joe Nelson, so you'd need a second pole with a weapon for Gangrel to go for. And it should be a phone with Joe Nelson's mum's phone number in, so he's going to call his mum to say he's out late.
Maybe. Yeah. But like, I think if you did,
I was thinking
Gangrel,
like, you know, a kiosk where they sell like alcohol because he's not allowed to buy a drink. So like, one pole garlic, one pole pot of beer. There you go, nailed it. But you've got to buy the beer because if someone else buys it for him, then you're screwed.
What if he gets the beer with a full meal? Is he allowed it then?
Only if it's a pint of cider. Don't forget, it's got to be a low strength cider.
Okay.
Oh, brilliant. Right, Women of Steel. I wasn't able to go to the last show, so what's going on, man?
It's been chaotic, hasn't it?
Clarify it for us, because...
So the Women of Steel tournament was supposed to end in May, but then WWE had a UK tryout and invited every single woman who was in that tournament for the tryout, so like, they all pulled out. But it's getting back on track. On the 7th of September, we're going to have Raven Creed versus Ivy for the Women of Steel Championship. And the winner of that match faces Candy Floss in the cave.
Right, okay. There we go. So the night...
Everyone's had the title opportunities.
There you go.
So Raven Creed's coming over a day on the September 7th.
I would say this now. Now that Tony Storm has signed with WWE and isn't on the indies and stuff, I would say that Candy Floss is probably the best independent women's wrestler in the country right now. She's
Isn't she also
fantastic.
Signed with WWE UK though?
No, she's made a few appearances, but it's been like job matches and stuff, hasn't it? Pretty much. But
her and Kanji was incredible. And
yeah, it was.
They're doing it again at Seoul in a few weeks' time, and it's going to be incredible again.
Yeah, that's the match my other half asks about more than not. She's like, oh, when they're getting Candy Floss back, because that match she had with Kanji were amazing. Yeah. Like, it was absolutely brilliant.
Yes.
Right. So. So that's going to get sort of resolved. We're going to sort of clarify the situation with the Women's Steel Tournament. That's positive, good news, right?
Until then, we've got Ivy shouting on the hilltop to not be the champion.
Yeah. Right, Mike Bailey against Chuck Mambo.
Yeah, so Mambo versus
Speedball. Yes. Yeah. Another sort of like Nate up and coming. Well, I don't know if you'd say up and coming, really, would you anymore? It's established, I guess, really. Halfway between up and coming and I know of him, which.
Yeah. I think he's had a solid 18 months now.
Yeah, I'd call him. Like, I would have probably when he was announced called him up and coming. Yeah. I might head more towards established, but anyway, like a name that we know on the indie scene coming up against Chuck Mambo. So he's going to kill Mambo, right?
He's going to The sound effects in the cave will be incredible.
I've told you this story before about Fight Club with Speedball became some of my friends' favorite wrestler because they don't like Omari's booking in Fight Club, so they cheer whoever he's against. And to start a match against Omari, Speedball kicked Omari so hard in the chest you could pretty much hear his soul leave his body. You know that when you kick him right and the wind leaves him, he hit him that hard. And my two friends in the opening match lost their voice cheering for him after that. Yeah, Speedball's fantastic.
Yeah, glad to have him on board.
Yeah, he's a unique character, like in the fact that he's like a very serious karate guy who's also seems like the nicest guy in the world. But yeah, because he bases himself out of the UK for like part of the year and then Japan the other part because he's not allowed to travel to America. Because just as he was making his name there, he got caught at the border and he got the ban. But I feel like, especially in the UK scene, he's become a big name for a lot of people to bring in, and he's a fantastic wrestler.
That's a good thing about British wrestling, and it's like, we've lost a lot of people. We've also gained a lot of people who've come over from another country to establish themselves here. So.
Well, that's the good thing. Like, with British wrestling, it's not necessarily just British wrestlers. Like, British wrestling includes people like Aussie Open, and you could say David Starr now, and Speedball when he's here, and like anyone who wants to come over. El Fantasmo. Like, anyone who establishes himself here, they're part of the scene, and that's what makes it good.
I think it's the size of the country, so they can get about it. It's a good place to learn your wrestling, and it's our advantage.
Yeah, right. Daryl, I assume you have more bear-related questions.
Not just yet.
Well, don't worry. I do. So
okay, go on.
These are questions from the listeners, obviously, because, you know, we're all about...
So we asked... you asked...
asked for questions, and we had to promise that we would answer any questions that the listeners asked. So here the question. Are all bears banned?
So we've done our risk assessment, we've got our insurance, and the insurance is like 10 times more expensive if a bear is in the cave.
Right.
So I don't want to break my risk assessment or the insurance, so no bears are allowed in the cave.
Even koala bears, as they are harmless.
They're also marsupials.
I'm going to retort to Mark here. Koala bears carry chlamydia, so not harmless.
So do I, but I'm allowed in.
Bang, got him.
So koala bears, the clue's in the second word.
They're not bears.
Yeah.
They're marsupials.
Yeah, koala bears are the ones that aren't bears. What about pandas? Are pandas bears? Pandas red, aren't bears red, either, are they?
No, red pandas aren't either.
I know red pandas aren't. Yeah. They're like foxes or something, isn't it?
Yeah.
Actually, do you know what? No, I can't bother with pandas. Pandas are doing their best to go extinct, and we should just let them be. Right? If they're trying so hard, just do you know pandas have got teeth that are able to process meat, and they just don't.
Lazy.
Exactly. Although, did you see the video of the panda rolling down the slide this week? Which was amazing.
No.
I feel very attacked by that line of pandas not eating meat when they can do things.
Well, yeah, but you don't eat bamboo exclusively, right? And like, there's no bamboo around, and they're going, oh, I ain't got any bamboo. So like, you eat different things. You're only 50% bamboo, so it's fine.
And only use a bamboo plate and then eat it.
He's tried to reduce the bamboo in his diet, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Too much fiber.
What about gummy bears? I don't know if this means actual physical, like, sweets or the famous cartoon gummy bears bouncing here, there, and everywhere.
An important question is that you're allowed to bring your own food.
Is that important a question? Is that...
Look at me. It obviously is an important question.
Right. He wants to know if he can bring his bamboos, basically. Can he bring 50% bamboo, 50% other plants?
I brought red licorice to me.
Yeah, what are the catering options in the cave? Like, is there a bar?
There's a bar. Yeah. I'm not sure on the prices, but they have a bar in there. And there's a couple of pubs around the cave before you come in.
Cool.
It's a 3 or 4 hour show, so...
Yeah, I did know, actually, there's a couple of pubs nearby, because actually I've been to one of them before. It's all right. Is it the one that's not far from Thornbridge Brewery? Bradfield. It's not far from Bradfield.
No, I think it's close to Thornbridge.
Thornbridge.
Yeah, Bradfield's like a mile away from here. It's just
Thornbridge is... confused between the two.
Yeah.
It's definitely near a brewery anyway, so I wouldn't be surprised if there's a lot of that on offer in Castleton itself. Yeah, I think it is Thornbridge. I think
when we parked the car, we walked like 5 minutes to the cave, and you walk past like 4 or 5 pubs. So.
Yeah, you're going to be fine. Yeah. So don't worry, Daryl, you're going to be all right.
I'm going Sunday and I'll... Are
you dying for a drink now?
Just give you all the tips.
Excellent. That's good. We're going to get another show guide, do you think? LP will put that through.
I'll have a real PC if he'll do it, yeah.
Brilliant. If not, we'll tell you. It's fine. Don't worry about it. I mean, we won't tell you all the right information, but it'll be entertaining.
Yeah.
Right. So I think we should address the final match on the card. The man who lends his name to the show. David Starr, obviously, arguably, again, we talked about Chris Brooks arguably being the biggest name on the British indies. You might call David Starr the biggest name on the indies, full stop. You know, that's completely independent of any sort of promotion.
Yeah.
I think you could say that. And definitely. You've got him. And you've put him in the cave against Spike Treve.
Spike Treve, yes. You're the polar opposites in the views.
Yes.
So we've had a couple of interesting promos back and forth. And Spike Treve wants to test himself against one of the best wrestlers in the world. He's had this deathmatch stigma around him for a long time. And he wants to prove himself as a wrestler. And then, yeah, David Starr.
So you've obviously had interaction with David Starr for a little while. He was involved in the independent show that you were obviously part of as well. When did that sort of all come about? Was it always, again, was it always an idea that you knew you wanted David Starr in the cave for the actually frankly excellent name?
I always wanted David Starr in the cave. The Starr and Treve match was one that I'd been wanting for a while, for the reasons mentioned, being opposites and what have you.
Yeah.
And then the independent show, we had the date we had the independent show, we had the venue booked for something else, which I wasn't too fussed about, or I didn't think it'd sell, or I didn't think it'd work. And then when I saw the independent video, I was just like, you know what, we can do something with this, and I think what he's trying to do is commendable. It's good to get wrestlers into a union. I believe in that, and I think the key point was to get promotions into it as well, because that's the biggest barrier for this independent movement to work, is to get promotions into it. So I thought, if I can get six promotions together to show, yeah, we stand with this.
I think that was particularly positive to see the six promotions sort of come together, because there's obviously this sort of cynical idea that promotions are all like to get each other, and you know, yeah. It's all, and while there is an element of competition there, obviously, you know, that's a factor in any business. It is always nice to see sort of people working together, especially for something that can be so sort of important as a wrestling union. So that's how it sort of came about, I assume. Was it through you sort of contacted him, and then?
Yeah, I contacted him, and then he mentioned DNA, we wanted to get involved. So he's been there, and they look after their wrestlers really well. They feed him, and they feel real looked after. So he says, bring them up. And then I just kind of contacted a few promotions who I know and have got a good relationship with, and I've not really met many bad promotions, to be honest, with time doing this. I think times have changed a little. I think if you did this 15 years ago,
I can think of at least one.
It's just when you said about the feed the wrestlers, I was thinking, I know of one company that didn't pay the wrestlers but fed them in sandwiches.
DNA, yeah, they feed the wrestlers and they pay them.
Well, I mean, what more can you ask, right? No, I think you're absolutely right in terms of the sort of attitude of promoters generally and promotions in general. I think that we're seeing now as things sort of develop, because, you know, this hoovering up of talent, you know, the ones that are effective are the ones that are surviving. And I think that's sort of really positive going forward to see sort of promotions be able to work together without sort of having that kind of one-upsmanship of competition as well.
Yeah, and it was a clash show as well, because it wasn't like this promotion against this promotion. We all had one showcase match. We went on first so we didn't want to. The last thing I wanted was to make it feel like a breed show. So yeah. We'll go on first, get it out of the way, and then your guys can do what you want.
Work it that way. Good.
Felt more like a collaboration more than as a breed
show.
Was
it difficult to put together?
It went over. It went over by about 40 minutes.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
So that was the hardest bit. There was no one really like, this is your time, stick to it. That's the reason it went over. But apart from that, there was no really, no egos or nothing like that.
Obviously, I know you. I'm sure you couldn't tell us any specific details, but any plans to do something similar in the future?
I think we'd be lapping it.
Whoa! There's a poltergeist! Things are falling!
Let's go!
Again!
It's the ghost of 1PW, come back to get us!
Thou shall not wait together.
No, they're doing that later on this year.
Are they?
No, next year.
Who knows?
Who knows? I mean, we do know, though. We're never going to find out personally, because, you know, we made that choice. Yeah, right. So to reiterate the same answer from before,
I think,
before Dan's room attacked us.
I think it'll happen again. I think it'll probably be London next time, though. We'll get a venue in London, and we'll go to another promotion's backyard, and someone else can have the hassle of organising logistics.
Well, there is that, yeah, sure. So going on from Starcave, then, obviously, this is what things have been building up to, like, like a main show, if you like. I hesitate to use words like, you know, sort of WrestleMania or Starrcade or whatever. I was like, but this, for all intents and purposes, has been what you've built.
I can't complain at people comparing it to WrestleMania or Starrcade.
Well, of course, you
I've called it Starrcade.
No, not really. There is at least one significant connection there. Going forward, then, what where do you see sort of things progressing from there? Obviously, if this has been like, if you almost think of this as like the season finale of this particular series, if you like, where do you see things progressing from there?
So we haven't booked no future dates yet. I want to see what the landscape looks like on September the 9th. I want to see what the buzz is like, whether obviously we was to get like 100 to 200 people at a show, and there's going to be more than double that at this show. So it's whether people are like, if I feel like people will come back again, can we get a bigger room, or should we just stay in Hex and just keeps trying to sell out 200 tickets in Hex and keep going there? But I've not really booked anything because I want to see what the landscape looks like. But you can bet your bottom dollar that the shows will still be mixed of talent from different countries, from different scenes, not just using the same talent. I think that's a bit repetitive and a bit boring. I'd rather use a few Irish guys, a few South Wales guys, a few North guys, a few Midlands guys, and just make like a melting pot.
I think it's good to have a philosophy, and I do think you definitely have that. It comes across quite clearly that you have a focus on sort of young talent, and I think that's a really positive thing. It obviously bodes well for you going forward. I'd like to think that would be something that would carry on as things sort of
definitely progress. We want to be the promotion where you see that in the next big thing, rather than be the promotion. Apart from Gangrel and Sparky Plug, obviously.
Yeah, obviously, apart from, I mean, but they're the next big thing in a way because they come back around.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, they've already been the big thing. Yeah. So back around, it's full circle in a way. I'm sure Daryl would agree.
Yeah, fully agree. Fully behind that. What?
It's really positive. Daryl, I assume you have more bear questions now.
No, I've got other questions, but not bear-related questions.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
Right. So,
Mitch, you must. We could tell a fourth person's coming because he's actually prepared.
Yeah. I usually don't do anything for this. So
he usually barely speaks.
Yeah. So I did, well, me and Dan did your first interview on the podcast, and now you're back. What is probably the thing you're most proud of? I don't say booking the cave because that's not happened yet. So something that's happened in Breed. What's the thing you're most proud of that you've achieved?
Right. So I've got a few things that come to mind. I'd say the reactions for More Than Hype and Scotty Davis at the minute, because I stuck to my they were my boys when I brought them in. I'm like, they're not really established here, and I'm going to take a gamble on flying these guys over, these young talented guys, and fingers crossed the fans will connect with them. And after every single show, the reactions for them boys are just getting bigger and bigger, and the chants are getting bigger and bigger, and it's quite rewarding when you feel like you've created something or created some buzz for some young talent to, you know, progress. That was a good thing. The reaction to Deathmatch in the Cave, when G Money announced that he was doing a Deathmatch in the Cave, and Hex just exploded and everyone was just chanting, that was fantastic as well. They're too big.
Is there one thing that you wish, and you might not want to tell us it because you might want to do it later, is there one thing, either a match you wanted to put together, or a person you wanted to book, or just an angle you want to run that either didn't quite work out or you haven't done yet but you missed out on the opportunity?
We've touched on the Woman of Steel tournament. That's just been a headache from start to finish, so I'd have probably done that over one show instead of doing it over a sustained period of time. But that's just naivety on my part, thinking that this is a good story to get through 6 months worth of shows. So the Woman of Steel tournament was definitely long-term tournaments in general. I don't think we'll have a long multi-show tournament going off anytime soon. So there was that one, and then angles wise or wrestlers coming in, we've got a fair amount of people that I'd like to book. I've got people who I'd like to book more, like your Dan Maloney's. He's only done one show. He could have done the other show, but we had to change the date. But I'd like to get him involved more and create something with him, because he's just got something different. He's a lot of wrestlers, they've got a similar style, and he's just got something raw and something real about him that I'd like to see. Give him a few more matches and give him something to work with.
Yeah, it seems with him the best thing that kind of happened to him was him not being WWE UK anymore, because it's led to him redeveloping himself, and the fact that he's been using the Psycho Driver recently, which is the most sickening move you can do.
Was it?
So it's a powerbomb into a pile driver, pretty much. So you lift them up onto your shoulders and then drop them down into a pile driver, and it just looks sickening every time. It's what Super Dragon used to use.
Okay. Yeah, oh, of course it is.
Yeah.
Just Super Dragon kicked our mate in the face, by the way, in case you're interested. That's a real thing that happened. It's on YouTube and everything.
It's on a T-shirt. It's on the T-shirt that I had made for him.
It's on the T-shirt. I forgot about the T-shirt. Yeah. He kicked our friend Ada in the face, in a way. I had Sami Zayn in his lap. He was El Generico at the time.
What?
Yeah, that was, yeah, El Generico was on his lap. That was...
Didn't El Generico die in a fire?
Yeah, El Generico died.
Oh, sorry, of course, yeah. But he was still alive then.
No, anyway, so I have got one more question, but I want to end it on that question.
Okay.
Just to take over the show. So if you guys want to ask anything else.
Dan?
No, I'm good. Brilliant. I'm just looking forward to it. Yeah.
So I asked you this question, the very last question, on the very first interview.
This
that
is
we
about
did.
Plugging a plug again,
no,
mate.
No. So purely in relation to the cave show, Star Cave, what keeps you up at night?
All right, Paxman.
I'm trying to remember what I said last time, but it's definitely different this time.
I believe it were weather last time, weren't it?
Weather.
Could it be weather again in the cave?
Yeah, it were cold. Yeah. It were cold in February, so I were right to be kept up at night with that. Yeah, the coaches. This is that sort of usual at every venue we've worked with. You get there and everything's set up for you. A cave is not like that. The cave, we've got to get portaloos, we've got to get transport from Sheffield to the cave, we've got to get a bit more lighting. There's a lot more to this one. So definitely the coaches and organising that and the portaloos and the worries, like the things that you can't control again. It's not just book. The booking's like a fourth or fifth most important thing on my list is welfare of customers and things like that, of higher up, and that sort of thing that keeps you up at night. Yeah.
Oh, cheers, Mitch. Looking after us and that.
Yeah,
that's nice.
Looking after your guys.
And our missus is. We're actually literally all bringing our partners to the show. Literally, that's how intriguing it was.
Oh, you've made that all.
I'm not.
What?
So. I'm not.
Why not?
She's working and she can't get out of it, so I've had to sell her ticket.
Oh, that's sad.
It came at the right time, though. It was when you announced there was only two seating tickets left.
Yeah.
So I just had to message.
Three now, hey.
No, it was like as that happened, I just messaged someone and she was like, yeah, I'll come.
All right.
So yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. That's a shame. Brilliant. Always end the show on a high note. Fantastic. Definitely should have had that conversation before, shouldn't I? No, I'm very excited. Like, very excited about Star Cave. Obviously, I'm sure you are, but you'll be a little bit busier on the day. Super excited about Star Cave, and obviously, it's been a pleasure having you back on. Yep. Much appreciated. Hope we'll come back on again and again.
Always,
and,
boys.
Exactly. That's what we like to hear. Right. And that's it. Well, thank you very much, Mitch. Much appreciated.
No problem.
Don't forget breedwrestling.co.uk.
Yes,
there's
around 40 tickets left, standing tickets. So
get them.
Let's sell the cave art, and then let's just put Breed on the map.
It's wrestling in a cave. What more do you need? Come on, get yourself going.
We've got
that, one
got
thing.
Pin
I'll
badges
point
as
out.
Well.
Sorry. So the group of people I go to Fight Club with are people who travel from all over the country and everything, and so many of those are coming to their first Breed show for the cave, because, and a lot of other fans who I've talked to have all said, like, the idea of wrestling a cave is drawing them up, so it's definitely a good idea, and you've put on a great card, so
it
should be an awesome day.
We've done all we can, and I know the talent we've booked will knock it out of the park, and fingers crossed it's something that can go viral.
Let's hope so. Yeah. Pin badges are available as well.
Pin badges, £5 each, is 50 Star Cave ones, then 100 Henderson Relish ones.
Right, so knowing how many people are going, they are going to sell out. So you want to get on them now, basically.
Definitely.
And that I think is it. Well, that's really positive. Like I say, thank you very much, Mitch, for being on. I thank the two of you, but you're on every week. I can't remember. Plus, also after some of the things you've done to me in the last few weeks, you don't deserve it. So that's it for the Royal Grumble for this week. Don't forget to go to royalgrumble.co.uk to get our latest episodes. You can go to twitter.com/royalgrumblepod. On Twitter, you can find Breed at Breed Wrestling. Is that correct?
Yep.
Breed, just double checking. And you can find all the latest information on the website, as mentioned before. That is it. Say goodbye, Daryl.
Goodbye, Daryl.
Say goodbye, Dan.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Mitch.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.
Eternal Grumble Podcast. You can't slander the dead.